Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington.
All right, what a start to worship. Good morning and welcome to First Christian Church. I think we should start every worship service that way. That was just wonderful. We are so glad that you are here with us to worship today, whether you're here in our sanctuary or worshiping with us online. A very special welcome to all who join with us. It's going to be a great day for us to worship and celebrate God's blessing and love. As we've gathered for worship today, just a couple of things to note. Pastor Dave, our senior pastor, is away today. He is attending a board meeting for the Christian Church Foundation, which is a part of kind of the national branch of our church. So we're pretty proud to have somebody on that board. He serves an important role, and so we're thankful that he is serving the church today in that capacity. My name is Brooke Anthony. I'm the associate pastor here. We welcome you, and if this is your first time joining us, we do have a gift for first-time visitors. We'd like to invite you to stop by our Welcome Center, which is kind of straight out the doors right in front of you as you leave today. We have a gift for our first-time visitors we'd love to give to you. We have a tear-off sheet on our bulletins, and you're welcome to tear that off now and to fill that out. It helps us not only to take attendance, but also there's space on there for you to share with us any concerns, any joys or prayer concerns that you'd like to share with us so that we can continue to hold your needs in our prayers this week. If you are watching from home, we invite you to check our church website. We do have our bulletin online there. You can follow along with our worship service. We also invite you to gather the supplies that you might need for communion so that we can share in the Lord's Supper here in just a little while together. On the back of your bulletin, you'll notice several announcements and things that are coming up in the life of our church. I wanted to mention to you, we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks a feasibility study, which is kind of a big fancy term for a survey that we're going to be giving out to the congregation in order for us to better assess the needs that we have in enhancing our church building here and renovations and things that we're going to be doing. We're just a couple days behind, so we don't have that for you today, but we will definitely have it next Sunday, and it will also go out by email probably here just in the next day or two. So we appreciate your patience, and we really appreciate you participating so that we can hear the needs of everyone in the church and everyone's voice can be heard as well. We are preparing for our harvest dinner, which is basically the equivalent of our all-church Thanksgiving dinner. It will be on Thursday, November 17th, the week before Thanksgiving. Tickets are available if you'd like to buy them here after worship out in the narthex, or you can also call the church office anytime during the week to set aside tickets for that. We like to give a big thank you to anyone who brought a coat or sent in a donation for us to purchase coats for our friends in the Midtown Gardens neighborhood. We have collected almost all. I think there's just a couple more still out. So if you have a tag at home, we need to get that back so that we can get those coats to our friends over in that neighborhood before the bitter cold comes too much. We're so thankful for our church. I think we had, I don't know, between 40 and 50 tags. And so thank you so much to our congregation for helping us with that need. We're switching gears, though, very quickly to Christmas time. Last year, for the first time, we created something called the Black Hawk Book Blessing. We gave a brand new book to every student in Black Hawk Elementary, and we are excited to do the same thing again this year. So you'll notice as you kind of close to the doors out of the building here, on the right side, we do have some tags. You can take tags and buy some books, and we hope to be a blessing to that school community again this year. We give you thanks for participating in that. I did receive news from kind of our resident gardener, Lillian, today that she is looking for a donation of some jack-o'-lanterns. So a lot of us have those pumpkins already carved at our house, ready to get rid of. She would like those for our tomato garden here. And so if you would like to bring them over here sometime again, just the ones that are emptied out and carved already is what she would like. You can just leave them behind our garages back there, and she would like those. So it's kind of handy because we all have to do something with those, don't we? So we'd love to have your leftover pumpkins. Lastly, I'd like to thank our choir and our worship band who have been here for both services today. It is a blended service, so you'll notice some things that we don't usually do during second service. But many thanks to the choir and the band for all of their time at rehearsing and for all of this long morning that they've been here. It was a wonderful kickoff to worship, and they will continue to bless us with music. So thank you very much to the choir and band. Please join me for our call to worship. You can find it in the bulletin or up on the screen. Please join me. For all those who have paved the way for our freedom of worship, we give thanks, O Lord. For those who have taught us about witness and the power of love, we give thanks, O Lord. For those who work in our church that we may come to know what it means to serve, we give thanks, O Lord. For all the saints, those who rest from their labors, and those who labor still, we give thanks, O Lord. Praise be to God, who continually inspires and guides workers and witnesses. Open our hearts and spirits, O Lord, and help us to become good workers for you. Please join us in singing our opening song.
God, our help in ages past. It'll be on the screen or number 67 in your hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
rejoice at the opening day.
Let us pray. Redeeming God, come and heal our lives this day. Open our hearts to receive your words of hope and joy that we may become faithful servants of yours in this world which you have loaned to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to be seated, and as you're doing so, we welcome the children to come forward for a children's message with Mike Davis.
All right, guys, how are we doing this morning? Well, thanks. That's awesome. Hey, I am so glad to see so many people here this morning. Do you guys know what happened last night? We had a time change. Uh-oh. What time is it supposed to be? Uh-oh. Yeah, so it happened. So I didn't see any friends that showed up too early, and it looks like nobody showed up too late, so everybody was just on time. So I am so glad you're here. Hey, what did we do last Sunday here? Or what did you guys do last week? What was the big holiday?
Halloween.
It was Halloween. And I saw most of you guys here for a trunk or treat. It was awesome. We had like over 400 kids. It was great. So how about this? Yes, ma'am? I know. We were kind of the Scooby Gang, weren't we? Hey, so when I walked in today, my friend Mike Prosser back there says, do you know what today is? And I said, no. Today is Sunday. Do you know what else it is? Yep, it is national. He tried to trick me. It's National Saxophone Day. It's also All Saints. That's coming up. It's also All Saints Sunday, but my favorite, it's also National Nachos Day. So there you go. But the next big, so you mentioned Christmas, what's the next big holiday coming up? Nope, not yet. Thanksgiving. Well, and so I got thinking about, what does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? Do you know what Thanksgiving is?
What is what? 4th of July.
Well, no. That's a lot of good stuff, too. All right, Jack. It is the third Thursday of November. And why do we celebrate it? Well, it'll be on a Thursday this time. Hunter?
We celebrate it because when we celebrate it, it's because all of our family members come over to eat with us.
You're right. And so we celebrate because we're thankful for all the many blessings we have. So maybe our friends and our family and our food, our warm houses. So I got looking in the Bible, like, what does it say about Thanksgiving? And I found four little verses. And the first one is Psalms 106, verse 1, and it says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. That's pretty good. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Didn't the band sound awesome this morning? Can we clap for the band? Were they awesome? Well, Psalms 95, verse 2 says, come, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise with him and sing songs of praise. Well, I think we're doing that this morning. And then the last one is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says, give thanks in all circumstances. That means good stuff and bad stuff, right? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, would you guys pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for all the people that are here on time today. We thank you for the band. We thank you for the kiddos. And we thank you about learning more about you. In this season of being thankful, let us know what you really want us to do, that we are good servants, that we learn more about you, and show your love. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
On this special All Saints Sunday, we set aside time for remembrance of the pioneers of faith, those who have come before us and shown us the way and the truth in Christ. This year, we give thanks and remember especially those who have passed away this year within our church family. And so we pause now to reflect on the gifts that they offered to the church and to the world.
Remember me when they're old enough to teach, old enough to preach, old enough to lead. And they slain at heart to heart, bound by grace and peace. Child of wonder, child of God, I remember you. Remember me. Child of God. Remember, hate you, ain't in heart to heart. Child of wonder, child of God. Remember.
Won't you join me in prayer? God of love and mercy, be near to us as we enter into stillness with you. We breathe in and we breathe out. Help us to be mindful that with each breath, your Spirit dwells within us. Move in us this day and every day. Shift our mindsets and guide our hearts. Mold our actions in accordance to your will. On this All Saints Sunday, we give thanks for the beloved people in our lives that have come and gone from earthly life. We give thanks for the impact that they made on the world, the ways that their special gifts shaped their lives, the lives of those around them, and their community. We remember the ways that they led by example, the ways that their love shone through their actions. We give thanks for the memories that will live on. We're especially thankful for our church members who have gone on to life eternal this past year. We thank you that we were blessed to know them and to experience all that they brought to the world and to your church. As we read from your word today, we confess that we hear echoes of our own concerns in those of the Thessalonians. As they did, we sometimes allow ourselves to worry when the world seems unsettled around us. We see the chaos, division, or negativity swirling around, and we are easily attracted into the mindset of fear. We hear rumors of war or concerns of the end times, and suddenly we find ourselves preoccupied with those thoughts. We take on the worries of others, and we make them our own. We let others deceive us, and we go along with the crowd. During those times, O God, pull us ever closer to your word for us. Remind us of your stability. Remind us that you have the control. Help us to trust in what we know to be true in you. We share with you today our list of prayer concerns and needs. We pray for those in our church family in need of your healing and your presence and care. You are intimately connected to each, and so we pray that you would meet them where they are in their need. We pray for your comfort to wash over all who are in the hospital recovering from illness, those who are facing upcoming surgeries or procedures. We pray that we would feel your support and presence as we face uncertainties and challenges in life. We also lift up to you those more personal concerns, for friends, for family, or for ourselves. You are the great healer, and we trust in you. We give thanks this day for the blessings that you share with us in this life. Help us to look around and consider our life as gifts given directly from you. Help us to reframe hardships and to look for ways to be thankful even in hard times. We give thanks above all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that gift and for the love that you and he both showed to us. In his name, we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture passage for today comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Paul wrote, "As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you not remember that I told you these things while I was still with you? But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits of salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our proclamation of the good news, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. Does anyone remember that old story of Chicken Little? Chicken Little was a chicken, of course, and one day he was sitting under a tree. Now, there are many variations of this tale, but the main idea is the same. Chicken Little sat under the tree one day, and something hit him on the head. He looked around, and he couldn't find anything, and so his natural assumption was that a piece of the sky had fallen and hit him on the head. He quickly decided that he must tell the king, and so he took off for the palace. Along the way, he runs into many friends, and when the first friend asks what's wrong, he gives a fairly straightforward version of the story. That friend decides to hurry Chicken Little along, and they both take off for the castle again. They come across another friend, but this time, the first friend tells an exaggerated part of the story. He says, "Chicken Little was sitting there, and a piece of the sky fell. It almost crushed him." The second friend panics, and they continue on their journey to the castle, and with each friend they meet, the story gets more and more severe and scary. By the time they reach the king, they tell him the world is ending. Now, of course, in the end, they have discovered that it was an acorn that fell from the tree. Just a regular acorn, as they tend to do, fell and hit Chicken Little's head, but the damage had been done. The panic had been created, and the whole community was in a tizzy. Well, this is how I imagine the community that Paul wrote to in our passage from 2 Thessalonians today. Paul wrote to a community who was panicking. This is a community that was stressed and worried, and they were scared and even paralyzed with uncertainty. And for what? Well, they had the idea that Jesus Christ had already returned, and they somehow missed it. Now, we don't have a lot of detail about what happened, but in verse 2, Paul alludes to the fact that maybe they had received a letter from someone pretending to be Paul or pretending to be one of the other leaders in ministry telling the church that this had happened. This letter was written in around 51, and Jesus was resurrected around 33. So this is about 18 or so years after the resurrection. The community had been on high alert all of those 18 years waiting for Jesus to return. They believed his return was imminent, and so to learn that they maybe missed it, it was as if Chicken Little had run through the town and declared the world was ending. They didn't know what to do with that information. They were probably panicking, not sure who to believe or how to act. Imagine a belief that you had pinned your whole hope on, one that guided everything you did, was possibly uprooted. More than just the fear of missing Jesus's return, they probably felt like the very foundation that they stood upon was being pulled out from under them. They were understandably shaken up. But Paul writes to them, he says, "Do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed." He informs them that the day of Christ's second coming has not yet happened, and he even kind of tells them it might be a long wait. Can you imagine? They'd been waiting for 18 years. They were anxiously anticipating Christ at any minute. And here we are, some 1,971 or so years later, and we're still waiting. So yes, the Christians in that community, they needed the message to settle down and wait. And Paul didn't try to calm their fears by explaining a step-by-step guide to the end times. He didn't lay out a timeline or give exact details of how this was all going to play out. Instead, his message had the goal to calm and refocus the church for the way ahead. His goal was to comfort them and to be their pastor. Paul's message to the church was to stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that had been taught to them. His message was to cling to what they knew to be true and to rest assured on the promises they had been given. Now, this was a message that people of faith had been given and heard for a long time. Moses shared a very similar message right before he and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. They had gotten up to the shore and they were standing there wondering what to do because the Egyptians were coming up behind them. They were panicking. Where do we go? And they were saying, "We wish we had just been left in Egypt to die." And Moses says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today." This message, "Do not be afraid and stand firm," this is one that people of faith have heard for years, and it's one that Paul repeats here to the Thessalonians today. Stand firm and hold fast to what you have been taught. We have a firm foundation to stand upon. When we think about what we have been taught, our minds are likely filled with Sunday school teachers and grandparents and teachers and pastors and friends and elders. The list can go on and on. We remember the old felt board that was brought out in Sunday school, moving the characters around as we were taught those important formative stories. We remember the songs that we sang out in our loud childhood voices, Zacchaeus, like Pastor Dave mentioned last week, or Jesus Loves Me, or I'm in the Lord's Army, Yes, Sir. We hear those songs and we are transported back in time. Our minds are flooded with messages of God's love and provision for God's people. God rescuing Daniel from the lion's den. The triumph that David had over Goliath with God's help. These stories are all embedded in our hearts and our memories, and they form our foundation of faith. But even as we've grown past these childhood lessons, we still have those touch points, those moments in time that come flooding back to us. I'm sure there's a hymn that when you hear it sung, you immediately feel as if you are back in that one specific sanctuary. Or maybe a worship song that reminds you of that overwhelming feeling of God moving in your life. What a treasure it is for us to have hearts and minds filled with memories that can come rushing back with just a smell or a voice or a sound. All put together, these create the foundation for standing upon for our strength. Our true foundation, our cornerstone, is Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And in support of that, we have a lifetime of teachings, of readings, of prayers, and of people that we are always standing on the shoulders of. On this All Saints Sunday especially, we take the time to give thanks for the pillars of the church, for those teachers and elders and folks who took the time to raise us in the faith. Not obligated by bloodlines, these are people who took the time to lead your youth group or chaperone a mission trip or to teach you about baptism. We give thanks for those who came before us, those who have been a part of constructing our foundation. God has laid that foundation for each of us brick by brick. God has given us the resources to have a strong, firm foundation, and we give thanks for that. We stand on the scripture and the prayers and the promises and the people who went before us. We have a firm foundation to stand upon. When we cling it to the promises of God, we won't be shaken or alarmed. Now, this isn't a promise that nothing bad will come to us, because, of course, we can't be promised that. But Paul reminds us not to be easily shaken or alarmed by the worries and the chaos that swirl around us. After all, we are most likely not receiving letters warning us that the end times have come and we have missed Jesus' return. But we do have all kinds of worries for the world, worries for ourselves, for our country, for our family, for the world. We have plenty of concerns trying to pull us away from our foundation. And we could easily read into those worries and look for signs of the end times, as many have done throughout all of human history. We could easily look around the world at us and assign clues to the end of days. But to live our lives focused only on the end is to miss the point of faith. For our lives to be preoccupied with how and when Jesus will come back and the logistics of how all that works, when we focus all our attention on the end, we miss out on so much life to be lived in the present. We stand on the traditions and the history, but we also look ahead, excited for the life that we live now and for all that is to come. To live our lives consumed by the worries of the day is to use up our energy on worry, when instead we could be focused on the good. When we cling to the promises of God, we're filled with gratitude and encouragement. We're not promised a life free from hardship or worry. But when we cling to the promises that we know so well, we are reminded that as storms come, as challenges or hardships or heartbreaks inevitably come, we know that we will be okay in the love of God. We will get through those hard times with the help of God. We will not be shaken or alarmed so long as we keep our eyes turned to God. When we cling to those promises, we know that God is there with us and will bring us through, even in the darkest of times. I'm reminded of Job, who called out to God, asking and begging and suffering, but still calling out. As all the good things in his life were taken away from him, he refused to curse God. Now, God was still there, answering him and even arguing with him at points, but still there. We can remember, too, that when we are afraid or facing something that seems impossible, God is still there with us. This passage and so many others in Scripture remind us that we are promised that evil will not win in the end. We are promised that evil will not rule the world. It will be defeated. We're promised that Christ will return. We're promised eternal life in Christ. We're promised that God will remain with us all through the changing seasons and years of life. These are the promises that we cling to. This is the foundation that will allow us to keep the faith even when we are afraid. Well, this all comes down to trust. It all comes down to, do we trust God? Hysterias will come, worries will come, end times theories will circulate every few years, and we can get caught up in it all, or we can trust that God really is in control. We can choose not to dwell on what we do not know. When we worry or when the what-ifs swirl around us and we focus on the unanswered questions, we're quickly bogged down in what we don't know. It can feel like a vacuum sucking us down into a pit of despair. But how do we want to live our lives? If we allow ourselves to be consumed with the end times or the what-ifs or the unknowns, it's almost like life becomes a holding cell. We're in a waiting room just biding our time and waiting for what is to come. But I think we are meant for more than that. I think we are called for more than that. God has given us lives of potential. We can be anything and accomplish anything and create anything. It seems like it would be a waste of those gifts to just sit and wait for Christ to return. Instead, we choose to cling to the promises of God, and when we choose to focus on what we do know rather than what we don't know, we're trusting God. We're trusting that no matter what life brings our way, no matter what is going on in the world, God is in control, and our foundation of love and faith from those who came before us, that is our firm foundation that will support and sustain us. When we have our footing firmly planted in what we know to be true, we won't be swept up in the frenzy. Our reading today ends with Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonians. He wrote, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, may that God comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And may it be so for us today." Let us pray. Oh God, we live in times with questions, times where we don't know what the future may bring. But God, help us when we feel uncertain or worried. Help us to find our footing in the firm foundation that you have laid for us. Help us to rely on the teaching and the guidance of those who came before us in the faith. We give you thanks for them and for their role in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.